Our lesson tonight is out of Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. God's righteousness graciously provided in justification by faith for Abraham. Having established that justification is by faith in Christ apart from the law, Paul anticipated that his Hebrew readers might object, asserting that Old Testament saints before Christ, like Abraham, could not then be saved. In fact, this is an issue that I've actually had Christians ask me about. They've come up and said, "No, Pastor, if we're saved by faith alone in Christ, how about those people who lived in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ came along? How are they saved?" That's a great question. And that's an issue that Paul addressed here, and it's very important for us to look at it. So we'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Romans chapter 4, 1 to 25. "What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof he can glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed not righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet been uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure unto all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years of age, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." After claiming that justification was by faith in Christ apart from the law back in Romans 3:21-31, Paul voiced the question he anticipated from his Hebrew readers about the salvation of Abraham, their forefather. Paul knew that many Hebrews might think that their ancestor Abraham was justified by works. Well, were Abraham to have been justified by works, he would have grounds to boast in his works in the view of many Hebrews. That's what Paul brings out in Romans chapter 4, verse 2. However, such is not the case in front of God. And Paul clarified how Abraham was justified not only apart from works, but apart from circumcision, apart from the law, and by faith in God. That's what verses 3 to 25 are about. First of all, Abraham, as well as all other Old Testament saints, was justified apart from works. Paul cited a very important passage in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Let me just go there right now. Genesis 15:6. I'm going to start back earlier in the passage in verse 2. In Genesis 15:2, Abraham had said unto the Lord God, "What will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one had born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now towards the heavens, and count the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, that's Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, that's the Lord, counted unto him, Abraham, for righteousness." So what Abraham was supposed to believe, that when he went out and he looked at the stars, God said, so shall your seed be. Just as you can't count those stars up there, there's so many of them, your seed will be so great that you wouldn't be able to count them. And so he believed that. Now he's not believing in Jesus Christ, he's not believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he's believing is that what God told him about the fact that even though his reproductive system was as good as well as dead, and Sarah's was good as well as dead, they would still have a child, and from that child would spring up this innumerable host. So he believed God, and so God reckoned it to him for righteousness. There's no work involved, none. He just believed the Lord. Well, Paul cited that in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What's very important is to keep this in mind. This is in chapter 15. And remember what happens in Abraham's life and when. Chapter 15, chapter 16, 17, and so forth. We'll keep this in mind as we go through the passage. Now, had Abraham relied on works to be justified, his righteousness would have been earned as a wage. That's what Paul says in Romans 4, verse 4. But Abraham was reckoned to be justified by God because he believed. So his justification by God was a gift from the Lord by faith, not by works. And Paul actually cited David, who was under the jurisdiction of the law, where David claimed one was blessed to whom God counts righteousness for him apart from works. Paul cited Psalm 32, 1 and 2 in this truth, showing that God graciously reckoned forgiveness of sin to one under the law, and he did it without works, because he said, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." See, the Lord could have imputed iniquity. Some think that Psalm 32 was a follow-up of David's Psalm 51 after his sin with Bathsheba. So it's amazing here that even under the law, God was taking care of people by grace. He was taking care of them in spite of their sin. So Abraham was, just like other Old Testament saints, he was justified apart from works. Well, at this point, a Jew would say, yeah, but Abraham was circumcised. See, and if he's circumcised, circumcision is what takes you to heaven, because that makes you a child of the covenant. Well, Abraham was justified, and Paul brings this out in verses 9 to 12, apart from circumcision. Paul anticipated the question from his Jewish readers that God's gracious reckoning of righteousness by faith apart from works perhaps was available only to those who had been circumcised. But Abraham was justified by faith without works while he was still uncircumcised. How do I know that? Genesis 15:6, where God is said to have justified Abraham by faith, occurs before Abraham was circumcised in Genesis 17, 1 to 27. See, Genesis 15:6 is two chapters before Genesis 17. In fact, in Genesis 16, you have Abraham producing Ishmael through Hagar, the maid of Sarah. But Abraham was already justified by faith before that. So circumcision comes two chapters later. Circumcision didn't save Abraham. He was saved before it. Circumcision was a seal of the righteousness of faith that Abraham attained before being circumcised, setting the precedent for Abraham to be spiritual father of all men who believe, whether they've been circumcised or whether they've not been circumcised. And I think this is a wonderful thing what God did. He justified Abraham apart from circumcision, and he set the record straight so that throughout history, when people are justified, when they're pronounced righteous by God, they're pronounced righteous because of faith, not because they're circumcised. That's a wonderful thing. You know, when we go into foreign countries, when we go into third world countries, and we reach people for Christ, like Lardin was going to the Congo, or the Trudeaus going off into Mindanao on the island of one of the islands of the Philippines and so forth, and reach these people for Christ, it makes no difference, regardless of their race, their gender, whether they were circumcised under the law or not, they're saved. They're justified by faith, because Abraham was justified as a pagan. He wasn't even circumcised. He wasn't a Jew yet. That's a wonderful truth. Well, Abraham is also justified apart from the law in Romans 4:13-15. When Abraham received the promise that he could be the heir of the whole world in Genesis 12:1-3, he obtained it independent of the law that came long after the promise. Remember, the law came about 430 years after Abraham was on the earth. You go all the way to Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, and we find out that Abraham had long been dead by the time God appeared to Moses, and Moses was the man under whom the law came. In verse 23 of Exodus 2, we read, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham." That's 400 years back. "Isaac and Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect to them." So here you've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're already deceased. They've been deceased for hundreds of years. You haven't even gotten the law yet. We're just in Exodus 3. Exodus 20 is where you get the law. So Abraham was justified without the law. That's a wonderful thing. We're justified not because of the law. And you'd be amazed at how many religions and how many cults will try to tell you you've got to keep the law in order to be saved. Abraham didn't keep the law. The law wasn't even given to Abraham. He just believed God, and God gave it to him for righteousness. So when Abraham received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, he obtained it independent of the law that came long after the promise. Had only those under the law been heirs of the Abrahamic covenant promise, that promise would have been of none effect. For the law only works wrath because it condemns man for his sin. But God had given the promise to Abraham without the law, because God wanted to keep the promise based upon God's promise to himself. Abraham was therefore eventually justified by faith in God, verses 16 to 25. Paul claimed that Abraham became the father of all who believe in God for justification. Dwelling on that exercise of Abraham's faith, Paul observed that Abraham believed God's claim that he and Sarah in their old age would produce a son as he promised, and his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. It's interesting, we are taught today to believe that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. Abraham and Sarah also had to believe that God was going to bring forth Isaac out of their reproductive systems, which were for all practical purposes dead. Now they were still alive, but they were well beyond the age of bearing children. And yet they had to believe that God was going to bring their son from the death, essentially. So it's interesting how God loves to have people believe in the resurrection from the dead. In that case, Isaac coming from the dead reproductive systems of Abraham and Sarah. And in our day, our believing that Jesus rose bodily, physically from the dead. That's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, the Genesis 15:6 claim that Abraham was justified by faith in God was written not only for Abraham's sake, but for our sake, the dispensation of the church, that we, like Abraham, might have hope of being justified by faith for trusting in Christ who died for us, who was buried, and who rose again. That's a wonderful thing. Verse 23, "Now it was not written for his sake alone," not for Abraham's sake alone, "that it was imputed to him, but for us also. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus out, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again because, literally, of our justification." So Abraham and the other Old Testament saints were justified by faith, apart from works, apart from circumcision, apart from the Mosaic law, and by faith in God as grounds for us to to believe in justification by faith alone in Christ Jesus alone in our dispensation of the church. So may we hold to justification to be by faith alone in Christ alone, without works, without circumcision, and without the law. As I said before, there are a number of cults that will try to put pressure on people to believe that they've got to keep the law, or they've got to be circumcised, or they have to do something like Abraham did in order to be justified. They forget that Abraham was justified in Genesis 15:6, before circumcision, before the law, and after the promise that God had given. And so we need to relax in the salvation that we have in Christ. I got a Father's Day card from my daughter Joanne today, and in it she wrote, quote, "I hope you have a good relaxing," and then she, in parentheses she said, "if that is possible on a Sunday day." Because she knows what it's like being involved in the ministry. And I got to thinking about it. Yes, Sunday is a full day and a busy day. But you know, in the spiritual realm, I can actually really relax because my salvation is secured. Thank God it's not based upon my works. I'd never cut it. It's not based upon circumcision. It's not based upon keeping the law. It's not based upon any merit or meritorious work. My salvation is based upon faith alone and Christ alone. Just like Abraham was justified, I'm justified. So on this Father's Day, yes, I can relax in that. May not be able to relax in a lot of other things because it's a busy day. I love the ministry and I love the day, but in the realm of salvation, I can relax. And you know what? You can too. If you've known Jesus, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can relax in that. Don't let anybody, you know, put you in an arm lock or bother your conscience to make you think that you've got to do something else in addition to faith. No, you don't. It's faith alone and Christ alone. And just remember, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, that was it. He was justified.